This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Managing your 401k is hard. Bloom isn't. See what you could be doing to make your 401k better by getting a free analysis at bloom401k.com/deal. That's Bloom with three O's, 401k.com/deal.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Border wall funding dispute. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Wednesday, January 24. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Democrats have withdrawn their offer to provide money for a wall along the border with Mexico. It was initially in exchange for legal protections for so-called Dreamers.
A text message shows a top FBI official expressed doubt about the Russian collusion probe, plus the Attorney General is interviewed by the special counsel.
Two students have been killed and 13 others were injured by gunfire when a 15-year-old shot up a Kentucky high school.
And preparing your retirement savings for the inevitable downturn by the red-hot stock market.
You prepare for the worst of times during the best of times. An upmarket is a pretty good time to be, you know, kind of looking at your plan and making sure that you're feeling good about where you are so that when there is that next inevitable bit of volatility or a correction, that you're not suddenly looking at all that red and going, you know, oh no, I'm having a panic moment.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on prepping your portfolio. She's here in about 20 minutes. Democrats now say they have withdrawn an offer to fund a border wall. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer first made the offer Friday during a meeting with President Trump at the White House, part of negotiations to avoid a government shutdown. Mr. Schumer said funding the border wall was in exchange for legal protections for Dreamers, young immigrants brought to the U.S. illegally as children.
It was the first thing the president and I talked about was finishing it by, as he said, Tuesday night, 3 days. And the thought was that we could come to an agreement that afternoon, the president would announce his support, and then the Senate and House would get it done and it would be on the president's desk. He didn't do that.
Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton was on Fox News.
We have a few more weeks to get this done now, and I'm confident we can, but we have to be responsible about it.
Dreamers have temporary legal status under the DACA program, but Mr. Trump last fall said it would end unless Congress found a solution by this March. Last evening, Mr. Trump, by the way, tweeted to Mr. Schumer saying there will be no agreement protecting Dreamers without wall funding. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has become the first member of the Trump cabinet to be questioned by the special counsel's office investigating potential collusion between Russia and President Trump's presidential campaign. Discussions between Mr. Trump's personal lawyers and special counsel Robert Mueller's team have reportedly been underway about the possibility of an interview with Mr. Trump and the scope of it. White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders.
The president wants to see this end, and he wants to see them finally come to the same conclusion that I think most everyone in America has, that there is nothing to this.
Meanwhile, the New York Times is reporting that Mr. Mueller interviewed former FBI Director James Comey last year. In another development, newly released texts from Peter Strzok, an FBI official who was removed from Mr. Mueller's team over disparaging texts about Mr. Trump, considered never joining the probe at all because of, quote, a gut sense there's no there there. Investigators are trying to understand why a 15-year-old boy opened fire at a high school in southwestern Kentucky, killing two students and wounding about a dozen others. It happened yesterday morning in a common area of Marshall County High School in Benton, Kentucky, a small town of about 4,500. One girl died at the scene. A boy died while being treated at a trauma center. Both were also 15 years old. The suspect was taken into custody peacefully at the scene and will face murder and attempted murder charges. Kennedy Scraggs is a senior at the school and said his instinct was just to run.
I thought that if you get down, I mean, there's a chance that you'll never get back up. So I just took off. I ran as fast as I could.
Governor Matt Bevin said another five people were hurt during the incident in other ways, and all of those injured or killed in the incident were believed to be students. The shooting brought back painful memories in Kentucky of the 1997 school shooting that killed three students in West Paducah, just 32 miles from the high school in Benton. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, do you have a 401k? Remember how frustrating it was deciding what to invest in without professional help? Now there's a better way to grow your 401k. Bloom, with three O's, is a simple, smart, and affordable way to grow your 401k. Go online to bloom401k.com/deal and simply connect your existing 401k in a few easy steps. Then sit back and relax while Bloom performs an unbiased analysis of the funds in your account and chooses the best mix to meet your goals while minimizing hidden investment fees. Bloom researches, invests, manages, monitors, and grows your 401k while you relax. With Bloom's free analysis, you can see the impact they can make on your 401k before you even pay. Bloom is one of the fastest-growing robo-advisors. Bloom is so simple. In fact, the hardest part about this is remembering there are three O's in Bloom. Go to bloom401k.com/deal and enter the promo code Gordon for your first month free and see the difference Bloom can make in your retirement.
Thanks for being with us. State legislatures across the U.S. will be wrestling in coming months over how to respond to federal income tax cuts. Many states typically follow the federal government's rules for deductions, exemptions, and other breaks. When federal rules change, as they did under the law passed late last year, state rules often do too. State lawmakers must choose whether to conform their systems to the new federal rules, cut tax rates to prevent rising tax burdens, or spend potential revenue windfalls. More from Wall Street Journal tax policy writer Richard Rubin. Rich, what's happening here?
The federal tax law is basically rippling through the states, and here's why. If your state has an income tax, it starts its income tax, whether that's corporate or individual, with a definition that comes from the federal law. Sometimes it's taxable income, adjusted gross income, but the definition of income is always coming in some way from federal law, or generally is. And so when that definition of income changes, if there are deductions that are no longer available or that are limited, so think about things like the business deduction for interest or entertainment expenses or the mortgage interest deduction or other things that are limited by the new federal law, well, then the state tax base gets broader, right? The state can tax a bigger pool of income, and the state tax rates haven't changed. So for a lot of states, there's money coming in that they hadn't expected. Essentially, the federal tax cut on net raising state taxes.
Is the opposite true?
There may be some cases, and in some cases the increase is going to be modest, but the general trend is that states will have more money automatically, or if they decide to conform with the federal tax law. And so what this does is creates a set of decisions for state lawmakers. They don't have to accept that outcome. They can decide which pieces of the federal tax law they want to align their systems with. They can decide to give the money back to taxpayers, and then they have to decide who. And then they have to, or they can decide to spend the money, to put it in a rainy day fund, to spend it on education and infrastructure, or whatever. So there's a bunch of options that state lawmakers all across the country are just starting to think through.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal tax policy writer Richard Rubin about his piece entitled States Grapple with Federal Tax Cut That May Raise State Rates. All right, so you just referenced New York. Explain some of the numbers you put together in terms of, say, business interest deductions and, you know, what that could do to coffers.
Yeah, so the New York State put out one of the first detailed reports that we've seen addressing each of these things. And so the way it works, the limits on business interest would bring in $45 million to the state of New York. The impact is even bigger on some of the personal changes. The federal law gets rid of the personal exemption, the per-person exemption. And the way that the New York law is written, if they don't do anything, that would mean an $840 million increase for single filers. But then the reverse happens for the child tax credit, where the state amount of the credit is tied to the size of the federal credit. And because the federal credit goes up, then you would have a $500 million tax cut for New York households with children. And so New York lawmakers need to think through, well, is that the outcome we want? Is there some different version we want? Do we want to have our state tax system burden distributed more like it was in 2017, or do we want to pick up some of these changes? And so that's the choices that they're going to work through. And that's on top of the other things that New York is dealing with, which is the end of the limits on the federal deduction for state and local taxes, which they're also trying to accommodate. This is really much more about their state tax system and how that works.
Are there timelines for state lawmakers around the country?
Well, the ultimate deadline is really going to be probably by the end of 2018 or a little before that, because they need to have their tax forms ready for filing in 2019, because this all takes effect for tax year 2018. But they really want to go probably sooner. You want to give some certainty to taxpayers. You want to. They often have short legislative sessions that finish sometime in the spring. Each state is one of the things in reporting the stories you realize that each state really is different, both in how in how it its legislature is set up and how its tax system is set up. So it really is one of those things that where results may vary by location.
Man, you have to pay close attention in your state, I guess, to what's going on.
Absolutely. And look, this is less of an issue because this is about income taxes. It's less of an issue in states that don't have income taxes. So Texas, Florida, Nevada, those states, it's really less of an issue. The states that rely more heavily on income taxes, well, yeah, this is going to ripple much bigger, and you should definitely pay attention to what's happening in your state.
Thanks, Rich. Wall Street Journal tax policy writer Richard Rubin. It's 21 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, another tragic shooting at a high school, this time in Kentucky. Two students were killed and 18 others injured after a shooter opened fire yesterday morning at Marshall County High School in Benton. Student Bryson Conkright was near the shooter.
You could tell he wasn't thinking about it. He didn't pause. He didn't hesitate. He pulled it out and just went. He just did it.
A 15-year-old male student was arrested at the scene and will be charged with murder and attempted murder. Authorities say it's likely he'll be charged as an adult, but his name won't be released unless he's indicted. After questioning Attorney General Jeff Sessions as part of the Russia investigation, prosecutors are moving closer to a possible interview with President Trump. The interview with Sessions last week makes him the highest-ranking administration official known to have submitted to questioning. The president was asked whether he had talked to Sessions about the interview.
No, I didn't, but I'm not at all concerned. Thank you all very much.
Sources also say Mueller's office interviewed former FBI Director James Comey shortly after Trump fired him last May. Officials have recovered the remains of five gas rig workers who had been missing since a fiery explosion in eastern Oklahoma Monday morning. Pittsburgh County Sheriff Chris Morris says loved ones have been notified.
With the unknown of this situation and the family not knowing and just feeling empty on where their loved ones are at this time, it's just... it's a tough situation, and of course, they're not doing good.
It was the deadliest shale drilling accident since the boom in U.S. oil and gas production began a decade ago. Looks like The Shape of Water is the film to beat. The whimsical science fiction romance garnered 13 Oscar nominations, including Best Picture. Greta Gerwig became the fifth woman nominated for Best Director at the Academy Awards. Lady Bird, the coming-of-age comedy she also wrote, scored 5 nominations, including Best Picture. The other movies competing for the top prize are Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Phantom Thread, The Post, and 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
I think I'm 0 for 8 on that list you just read.
Oh,
in terms of movies,
that's shocking.
Seen.
You didn't see any of these?
I saw none of them.
Hmm.
I'm weak. 23 minutes after the hour, on this morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Stocks are off to a strong start for 2018, yet financial advisors say now is not the time to get complacent. Up markets, as they're known, represent a prime opportunity to stress test your portfolio against future volatility and downturns. In other words, make sure you're comfortable with all the investments you're holding. More from Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly, what should we know?
You prepare for the worst of times during the best of times, or something along those lines. You know, an up market is a pretty good time to be, you know, kind of looking at your plan and making sure that you're feeling good about where you are, so that when there is that next inevitable bit of volatility or a correction, that you're not suddenly looking at all that red and going, you know, oh no, I'm having a panic moment.
So who should be making tweaks? Everybody? Like, well, you know, what if you're a millennial, just started the first job at the age of 25 or something?
Well, I think really everybody should be looking at this, because, you know, one of the big things is if you've been in the market for a while, you know, your portfolio may naturally now be a little more aggressive than maybe you had intended because stocks have been performing so well. So whatever your preferred mix is, if you look at it, you might find, oh, I've got some more stock exposure here than I would prefer.
You know what would be easier, Kelly, if the expert was just tell us a month ahead of time, like when the market was going to take a nosedive?
If we all had that crystal ball, we would all be much happier, I'm right. sure.
So, all right, so what else to keep in mind here?
Well, you know, you want to be thinking about your timeline for all of this. I mean, obviously, you mentioned younger investors, too. And, you know, there's a point where, you know, for them, it's just kind of saying, like, you know, continue on with the status quo. If you've got, you know, 30, 40 years until retirement, you know, just continuing to make those regular pay-ins from your paycheck is going to be beneficial to you in the long run. You're going to see, you know, some improvement here. But if you're starting to approach retirement, or, you know, we're not maybe necessarily talking about your retirement account, but, you know, some other goal you're approaching, whether that's your child, you know, going to school, and we're looking at that 529 money, yeah. or you're just hitting the horizon where you're saying, yeah, I'm getting ready soon to cash in and buy that house or buy that car, you know, now would be a good time to make sure that you don't have money in the market that shouldn't be in the market.
Mm. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's also a certified financial planner and has written a piece entitled Now's the Time to Make Sure Your Portfolio is Ready for a Downturn. Timing the market is out of the question, obviously. What else strategy-wise do we need to consider?
Yeah, timing the market is definitely not something you want to be thinking about. You know, we know just consumers are really, really bad at doing that. When you look at some of the numbers out there, you know, previous downturns, you know, where the money is flowing and when, like, we're all really bad at that. If you want to be looking ahead, though, the thing to be thinking about is, you know, what is your risk tolerance? Because the more risk-averse you are, you know, advisors say foregoing some gains now might be preferable to, you know, the pain of having a market downturn and really experiencing that problem. So, you know, you want to be thinking about what's your tolerance and what's your appetite for risk.
It's Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, January 24. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Democrats withdraw their offer to fund part of the border wall. Sessions interviewed in the Russia probe. Two students killed, 13 wounded in a Kentucky high school shooting. The Pentagon says a weekend airstrike killed 150 ISIS fighters in Syria. Toys R Us closing 180 stores. Paramount Network tonight begins a miniseries about the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas. LeBron is the seventh player to score 30,000 points, and how following the Waze app sent a car into a frozen lake. That story in about 20 minutes. Before Doug Jones was even sworn in as Alabama's newest senator, Sheila Tyson and a coalition of women in the state wrote a letter asking to meet with him. They want to talk about things like expanding health care for the poor. Ms. Tyson represents one of an array of groups, including Democrats, women's organizations, and voting rights advocates, trying to make their case to Senator Jones in hopes that he will support their causes. It's a story by Deborah Barfield Berry, Washington correspondent at USA Today. Deborah, what have you found?
A lot of folks, I was wondering, especially when I was in Alabama and soon after he won, a lot of folks on the ground there and folks here as well are real interested in sitting down with him because, of course, a lot of them helped get him in office or work their campaign to get voters out. And for the most part, they were like, well, now what are you going to do for us? Mm. So some of them are calling him out on that.
So who's calling him out? Who wants his ear?
There are groups from the Black Women's Roundtable. There are some voting rights groups, some civil rights groups. all calling him to do different things, whether it be, you know, helping with health insurance, making sure they expand health insurance, whether it be working on the Voting Rights Act, or particularly restoring a provision that was eliminated, calling them out on all those kind of things. And now I'm sure they'll be calling him out on his vote recently on the shutdown.
Mm. How much of this is based on the fact that some of these groups may not have had the ear of, say, a Republican senator before this? Because we've got a Democrat in office there for the first time in a long time.
I think a whole lot of that is based on that. For the most part, the Alabama delegation is mostly Republican. Up until Doug Jones was elected, Terry Sewell was the only Democrat in the delegation. So for a long time, they haven't had, at least in this case, a Democratic representative, especially in the Senate. So I think a lot of that has to do with it. And a lot of it has to do with them feeling like they helped put him there, so he in some ways owes them at least a conversation.
Has Senator Jones indicated like a list of priorities or anything like that so far?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he campaigned on a whole lot of the issues, including CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program. He campaigned on that. He campaigned on a lot of economic issues, particularly as it relates to Alabama. So he always talked about Alabama first. So some of them those issues will definitely overlap with the folks who are advocating. But he also said that he wants to work with both sides. So there will be some places where he said there should be more compromise. Mm. And so that gives some folks some pause, at least some of the people who are pushing him. But, of course, he comes from a very red state, very red state.
Yeah.
So and he will also have to hear and respond to their concerns as well. So it'll be a delicate balance for him.
We're speaking with Deborah Barfield Berry, Washington correspondent at USA Today. Her piece is called, "Now That Doug Jones Is in the Senate, the People Who Put Him There Want His Attention." I thought it was interesting, too, that the take from Congressman Meeks from New York, right, trying to help Senator Jones understand the lay of the land. But Mr. Meeks was saying, hey, listen, he's from Alabama. He's got, different groups to respond to or, listen to. What was his take?
Well, for the most part, I've written several stories about this and that. The campaign, and even congressional black lawmakers are being very careful about not nationalizing this race, particularly because they know there'll be a lot of backlash in Alabama for that. So they were real careful about that. And the same here. Even Meeks was quick to say that, he realizes that Doug Jones is a Democrat from a red state.
Yeah.
So he realizes that, and they're quick to, like I said, point out that they know he can't vote the way they vote on everything. And they want him to be reelected, so they know there will be some places where they will have to respect that he will vote differently than what they will do. And that might include his vote, Friday on the shutdown. He broke with his party to vote to advance the bill, the short-term spending bill, unlike many other Democrats. So I don't think he's been called out on that yet.
He's going to be under a watchful eye, right? Because he's filling out an unexpired term, so he would have to run again. Is it 2020?
2020, exactly.
So he's got a tight window to impress.
Exactly, but he has to be careful about who he is. He has impressed a lot of folks in a lot of different ways. So that's going to, like I said, it's going to be a very delicate dance, especially since the Republicans are definitely going to be coming after him.
Thanks, Deborah. Deborah Barfield Berry, Washington correspondent at USA Today. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal. Are you looking to hit your fitness goals? Well, let Beachbody On Demand help you get there. No need to go to a gym or schedule a class. Everything is right there on your personal device. Beachbody On Demand has programs for any fitness level, and the workouts range from cardio and weight training to yoga, low impact, and even dance. There are over 600 different workouts. Beachbody On Demand even provides comprehensive nutrition plans because working out is just part of the equation. There's access to information on meal prep, variety of recipes, and simple but proven eating plans. Give it a try. Right now, our listeners can get a free trial membership when you text the word Gordon to 303030. You get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts and nutrition information free. Just text the word Gordon to 303030. Again, free trial for Beachbody On Demand. Text Gordon to 303030. 8:30. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday Beyond the Headlines. Now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, ESPN has a new color commentator for its Sunday night baseball broadcast this season, and it's Alex Rodriguez. A-Rod replaces Aaron Boone, who left to become the manager of the Yankees. And if that scenario sounds familiar to you, it should. This isn't the first time A-Rod has replaced Boone at his job. Back in 2004, Aaron Boone was the Yankees' third baseman and injured himself playing pickup basketball in the offseason. The Yankees then traded for Rodriguez to replace Boone, taking him away from the Boston Red Sox and altering the baseball landscape for the next decade. This trend of A-Rod following Boone was not lost on social media yesterday, as most users began speculating when he would next replace Boone to become the next Yankees manager. Then, some years after that, perhaps on the shuffleboard team at the retirement home.
Right.
That is funny.
That's good stuff.
And that,
that's
good, good coincidence.
I'm not a huge baseball fan these days, but I thought Aaron Boone did a good job. And A-Rod's pretty good himself.
Yes.
I've heard his analysis also.
Yeah, we haven't heard a ton from A-Rod, but what we've heard sounds pretty good, so I'm looking forward to that.
All right, let's go easy on the Yankees manager, because if that happens soon, things are not right in Yankee land.
Right.
Meaning Aaron Boone will have fallen on his face as manager.
I suppose.
We don't wish that.
But as
unless Mets, you're in Boston. We generally don't wish that.
Is that a Mets fan? As a Mets fan, is that concerning you a lot that the things go wrong for the Yankees?
Not really. I'm not, like, I've matured enough over the years.
Yeah.
Where even though I'm a Mets fan, I'm not a Yankees hater anymore.
Right.
Like that ship sailed a while ago.
Boy.
I've matured just a little bit.
I don't know
over the years.
I don't know if I like this maturity, Gordon. We have to talk about this. And a college freshman, Gordon, is making news for his persistence in finding a potential date he accidentally gave the cold shoulder to in a very 2018 kind of way. Missouri State student Hayden Mall was reportedly heartbroken when, while scrolling through his Tinder app recently, he accidentally swiped left on an 18-year-old brunette named Claudia, meaning that he wouldn't be matched up with her, and unless fate intervened and they bumped into each other on campus, they wouldn't have a chance to date. So, rather than sit back and wonder what might have been, the freshman decided to make a bold gesture. He searched the name Claudia on Missouri State's website, and on Saturday emailed everyone at the university with that name in search of the one that got away.
That's great.
The young man asked the Claudia to email him back with a simple answer, left or right. If the answer was right, he would take Claudia out for donuts. The freshman's shotgun approach worked in getting the message to his crush named Claudia Alley. Claudia posted Hayden's message on Twitter, and it blew up, having been liked and retweeted nearly 200,000 times since Saturday.
Holy cow, is that right?
Yes. She was, I think, on the Today Show yesterday, too. Thankfully for Hayden, Ali said she found the gesture to be more funny than creepy, and yes, the two are planning a donut date for later this week.
Wow.
I mean,
I can't imagine a whole lot of Claudias attend Missouri State.
I mean, I guess.
Not the most popular name.
Yes. But I mean, this could have backfired spectacularly had she thought it was creepy or rejected him in some way and then posted that up, and we could have been talking about how devastated he was. So good for him.
Is a donut date, by the way, a thing these days?
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, it sounds like a pretty common thing for the Missouri State kids.
And there's no like security confirmation from Tinder. They don't say, are you sure you want to swipe left? I guess not. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you want the absolute best shirts around, you have to go to CT Shirts. I want you to try them because once you do, you'll never go back to some random shirt off the shelf of a department store. And CT Shirts come in custom sizes, so you're not messing with ill-fitted sleeve lengths or neck sizes. It's time to step up your game and look your best, so I got you a special CT Shirts deal. 3 CT shirts for $99. CT shirts use the softest, most exquisite fabrics ever. Work or casual, tie or no tie, tuck or untucked, when you're wearing a CT shirt, you'll look your best. Here's the deal. 1 CT shirt normally costs $100, but right now you get 3 shirts for just $99. That's 60% off. Go to ctshirts.com/deal. And CT shirts come with free delivery, a 6-month quality guarantee, and free returns. If you hurry, $99 gets you 3 amazing CT shirts. ctshirts.com/deal. That's ctshirts.com/deal. Thanks for being with us. You've probably heard of the idiotic trend of teenagers eating or biting Tide Pods. The trend has gotten so widespread that Tide's official Twitter account, plus Procter & Gamble, and the U.S. government have warned against the practice. That said, MarketWatch suggests this type of detergent for your clothes is not even the best method anyway. It says for those washing clothing at a laundromat with hard water, powders may be the best choice. Slightly cheaper than liquid detergent and harder on stains, powders are a good option for people who do large loads of dirty laundry on a regular basis. Meanwhile, analysis from Reviewed.com finds that liquid detergents are better than powder detergents for cleaning stains by hand and better at providing clothing with fresh fragrances. Of the top 10 laundry detergents on home product review site The Spruce, none are pod-based. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer has pulled back an offer of $25 billion for President Trump's long-promised border wall as lawmakers scramble to figure out how to push a deal to protect hundreds of thousands of Dreamer immigrants from deportation.
It was the first thing the president and I talked about was finishing it by, as he said, Tuesday night, 3 days. And the thought was that we could come to an agreement that afternoon, the president would announce his support, and then the Senate and House would get it done and it would be on the president's desk. He didn't do that.
Schumer made the offer last Friday in a last-ditch effort to head off a government shutdown. Then came scalding criticism from his party's liberal activist base. The Democrats had given up too easily in reopening the government without more concrete promises on immigration. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has indicated to lawyers for President Trump that his office will seek answers directly from the president on the circumstances around the firings of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and former FBI Director James Comey. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says the president will cooperate with the investigation.
Not going to comment on who may or may not or could be interviewed at any point, but we're going to continue to be fully cooperative with the process.
Asked earlier this month whether he would agree to a Mueller interview, Trump declined to comment, saying the need for one appeared unlikely. A 15-year-old boy shot and killed two students and wounded 13 others in a high school in Benton, Kentucky yesterday morning while five others were injured trying to flee. The suspect was taken into custody peacefully at the scene and will face murder and attempted murder charges. No details have been released about the shooter or a possible motive. LeBron James has become the NBA's seventh player and youngest to reach 30,000 career points. He achieved the milestone in the Cavaliers' loss last night in San Antonio.
It's a special moment. You know, it's just I just started thinking about everything that, my journey. You know, my journey from being a kid that first picked up a basketball when I was 5 years old to first starting playing organized basketball when I was nine, all the way up until this point.
The 33-year-old James joins Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Karl Malone, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, and Dirk Nowitzki on the list.
That's a pretty good crowd right there,
yeah,
of players.
Yeah, pretty good.
So that's, 800,000 points combined or something like that.
Good math.
Those guys can fill it up. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Glad you're with us. When Tara Gerton lent her Jeep to three friends from Connecticut who were doing some sightseeing in Vermont, she did not expect the car to end up at the bottom of Lake Champlain in Burlington. A popular app is getting the blame. Ms. Gerton said they were following directions from Waze, a community-driven GPS navigation app now owned by Google. Waze gives you turn-by-turn GPS directions with user reports of accidents, traffic jams, police traps, things like that. But the Burlington Free Press says the app directed the drivers to turn onto a boat launch near the Coast Guard station. It was dark and foggy. By the time they realized what was happening, the car had slid 100 feet onto the lake. The three people in the car managed to climb out before it crashed through the ice. Julie Mosler, spokesperson for Google, was unable to explain how the car ended up in the lake, but said generally Waze maps are updated with millions of edits to adapt to real-time road conditions daily, often making them the most accurate available. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.